The Absolute Philosopher here in Campo, California. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. And our topic this evening, I create my own experience of heaven on earth now. I create my own experience of heaven on earth now. And what is heaven? Heaven is hell and paradise. We create our own experience of hell or paradise on earth now. Now, where do you live? Do you live in paradise or do you live in hell? Do you live in all of the confusing activities that go on in your everyday affair and say that they rule your mind and control your thinking? Or do you live in paradise and you say, all is in divine order, 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 all is in divine order. And you think, well, what a boring thing to keep on saying. Yes, it is. 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. And all of a sudden, you understand that 2 times 2 is 4, and you understand the principle of mathematics. You understand the principle of multiplication. You understand the principle. And it's very boring to say 2 times 2 is 4. You have your multiplication tables, you have your addition tables, you have your subtraction tables, if you can remember back that far when you were a child in school. And the teacher would hold up a card, and the card would have the numbers on it, and then you would have to write that down on a piece of paper what your answer was. And she would hold it up, and then she, of course, was she had a crib there on the back of the card was the right number, so she knew what you were supposed to be writing down. And but you know, the teachers are like that. They don't have to know everything. They just have to it's who they know. They have to have that information in front of them. But now, truly, if you say 2 times 2 is 4, pretty soon that will be part of your warp and woof of your character. If you will say, all is in divine order, 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 pretty soon that will be part of the warp and woof of your life. And as it is part of the warp and woof of your life, then it is a very happy time and a very wonderful thing for you to experience. Now, we have the opportunity. Ellen just goofed. She had her napkin lying on the edge of the table, and Rex felt, boy, oh boy, that's my toy. And so he picked it up, and he thought that was just wonderful. And then Ellen now gives him a treat, and he gives up the napkin. And yes, she's putting the other treat away so that I won't see it. And it's the way it goes. Oh, yes, she has to go in and give her beloved Button a treat, because Button is in his bedroom sleeping and resting now. But she has to go there and make sure that he has something. Now, what is all that about? I create my own experience of heaven on earth now. We sometimes think that if we don't get out and enjoy life now, we're cheating ourselves, you know? We feel if we don't go dancing, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't go playing golf, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't have a job and earn money, we're cheating ourselves so that we can spend the money in whatever way we want. If we don't have a little white picket fence, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't have a car as big as the neighbor's car or bigger, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't have a wife who is dressed to the nines, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't have kids who are always well-behaved and well-mannered, we're cheating ourselves. Now, that's all the wrong reasons. All the wrong reasons. If we were to say, I live in heaven. I live in heaven on earth. And I have the most beautiful wife in the world, the most beautiful husband in the world, the most wonderful children in the world, the most cooperative and honorable children in the world, and on with all areas of your life. And I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. When you say those things for yourself, you're putting a cause in motion and you're putting an experience in motion. You are creating heaven. Now, some people create hell. And that's their choice. We are not interested in that. We are interested only in creating heaven. Now, how are you and I going to create heaven for ourselves, which is going to be a viable heaven, a real heaven, a fantastic heaven that's going to turn us on and make us do somersaults and flip like a butterfly, waiting to have the air current come up and down and enjoy. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, consistency. Consistency in our thought. Are we consistent in our thought all the time, thinking of the beautiful things in life? Oh, you're so Pollyanna. Oh, you're so, you know, unrealistic. You're unpragmatic. You're unaware of the facts of life. Yes, thank goodness. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I'm unrealistic and I'm unaware of the facts of life. It's just wonderful. Now, when people see something that is kind of strange, they immediately take offense at it. They immediately want to change it and bring it into form. Like, for instance, when a person is driving erratically, you immediately want to say, I'm going to call the cops on that guy. I'm going to turn him in for driving so carelessly like that. He's a danger to everybody on the road. And today, Ellen pulled up to the post office and parked in the zone for the handicapped people. And it said, anybody who parks in this zone can be towed away, and anyone who parks in this zone can have their car taken away on them. And if anybody sees them parking in this zone, they should call this number so that they can get that out of the way. Now, Ellen gave me a grimace on her face just now, saying, I didn't notice that I parked in the zone for handicapped people. Well, the big blue signs were up there. The big blue painting was, the big blue painting was all over the pavement where you drove in. And you see, when you do that, now I didn't say a thing to you at all about it until just now, which is not the right time to say it, I guess. But I didn't say anything to you about it until now, because, you see, it didn't matter to me what you chose to do. I was just seeing what sort of attitude you were going to have when you came out, whether you noticed it or not. And you didn't. You came out twice and said, well, I'll be a little longer, and you didn't even notice it. You didn't even notice you were walking on the blue lines. You didn't even notice that it was for people who are crippled and handicapped, and you didn't even notice that that was what you're creating for yourself by parking in their place. Yes, Ellen, do you want the world to think you're crippled and handicapped?
Not at all.
Do you want the world to think you're crippled and handicapped? Then don't park in their place. Do you want the world to think you're crippled and handicapped?
No.
Then don't associate with crippled and handicapped people.
Right.
Oh, you mean I shouldn't associate with people who are... No, in your mind, if they are crippled and handicapped, then you should not associate with them. If in your mind you see them whole and perfect, if you see them in heaven on earth, then that's just fine. You go associated with whoever you wish. But you must keep your mind clear at all times. You're no help to somebody when you talk to them. Oh, you look like you're sick. Oh, you look like you got a problem. And you downer them, you know. You push them right down in the dumps by saying such things. And when you talk to people or treat people who are handicapped in any way, then you are recognizing their limitation and not recognizing their expansion of consciousness, which comes just by recognizing the reality in them, the original purity and integrity. You see, I sound like I'm a very terrible person when I say, don't associate with handicapped people. Don't associate with insane people. Don't associate with poor people. Don't associate with rich people. Don't associate with people who want. Associate with people, if you will, who have. Associate with people who live in the consciousness that they have perfect health, that they have a perfect body, that they have a perfect independent wealth, you know. Just associate with that attitude. But where is that attitude going to come from? First, it's going to come from your mind. First, it's going to come from my mind. And once it comes from my mind, then the next step is to experience it. The next step is to live in heaven on earth. Now, there is no evil in the world. You just turn the word evil around, you got live. And there's only live. There's only life. There's only purity and only goodness. But whatever we concentrate on, whatever we give our attention to, that's what we experience. That's exactly what we experience. Now, what do you want to experience in your life and in your world? What are you going to concentrate on? What are you going to give your attention to? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Because what you're outpicturing in your life right now is a perfect expression of what you're thinking in your mind. And if you're outpicturing a body that's less than fabulous, then that's what you're picturing in your mind. When you look at a beautiful woman, you say, oh, I'd love to have a complexion like her. I'd love to have a body like hers. You do. You say, there's a reflection of me. Yeah, there's a reflection of me. And when I see someone who's 25 years old, I say, huh, both born the same year, weren't we? Yes, indeed. And people laugh at me at first, but then after a while, they say, well, that's Herb. That's the way Herb thinks. That's the way Herb thinks. He thinks like a 25-year-old. Herb thinks in the youthful body and the youthful mind and the youthful spirit and the youthful soul. That's what Herb thinks, you know? Mm-hmm. And is that so bad? Doesn't sound bad to me. Sounds like a good way to think. Sylvie, how do you think about life? What kind of attitude do you have about your body, your mind, and your spirit? Chanel?
I just love my body and who I am and my world and yeah.
See, Sylvia is not used to thinking in that frame, and it's about time we get used to thinking in that frame. Now, Ingeborg, what kind of a body are you living in?
I have the perfect body. I like it. It does all what I tell it to do. It follows me. All my thoughts.
A robot does that too.
Yes.
Yeah. No, every organ, action, and function of your body is absolutely perfect right now. Is that what you mean to say?
Yes, it
is. I figured that. But you see, that's what we want to say. We should have this tripping off our lips like it's the most normal thing in the world for us to think about, you know? Now, Ellen, you know you're coming. What about your body? How do you see your body?
I live in my ideal body, and I live in a vital, dynamic, enthusiastic body.
And how is your mind?
My mind is illumined.
Boy, you sure are a short one.
It says it's all inclusive.
You live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body,
mind,
yeah?
Mind and body.
That's great. You see, when you put a package together, then it's great. But when you don't put the package together and you say, well, I live in my ideal mind, I live in, and then what about your body?
Ideal,
what about your
spirit, mind, and body?
That's great. Always include them because all, got that? A-L-L, all is in divine order. And that means everything. And that means you don't have to do a thing. All is in divine order. And we do seem to get a phone call every time we're giving our lectures here, no matter whether it's early or late. But that's okay. We don't mind. But all is in divine order. And that's what makes life go around. All is in divine order. So speak your word and know that. And know that you are creating your own experience of heaven and on earth now. I create my own experience of heaven on earth now. And when I realize this and say this and know this, then what happens? It's done. And it is beautifully done. So, have yourself a lovely evening thinking about the absolute philosopher that you are and how you are on top of all these ideas. If you have these ideas on the tip of your tongue, then that's what you're living. If you have to think about what it means when I ask you, what kind of body do you have? What kind of mind do you have? What kind of life do you have? If you have to think about it without saying, it's perfect, ideal. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm fantastic. I've got a body that everybody wishes they have, and they do have it, because I see in everybody what I am. You know, be positive, be dynamic, be forceful, be outgoing, and be yourself, and have fun, because that's the way I do it, too. I love you. I love you.
I love you.